Optimum is here. From fast to 100% fiber fast. Get award-winning internet, mobile, and TV. Call 866-9-OPTIMUM or visit optimum.com.
Hey there. How you going? It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Gus and Clint. I'm Aaron. We're joining you today until 6:30. We'd love to hear your thoughts and your comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at DoubleT973.com. You can also access that through the DoubleT973 mobile app presented by Happy State Bank. Shifting gears a little bit, some basketball news over the last week or so, as all this Pac-12 news has kind of burst and dominated a lot of our time. A couple of really interesting hires there for Tech basketball. Dave Smart, we've touched on that a little bit on the show. That was announced about a week ago. He comes over from Canada, where he was the head coach at Carleton for 18 seasons. And then just the other day, Texas Tech announced the hire of Kellen Buffington as the general manager of Texas Tech men's basketball. I don't expect most folks to know who Buffington is, but it's a big deal. This is a really nice coup for Texas Tech from McCasland. He was, I guess up until now, one of the more well-known grassroots basketball organizers. AAU is what I'm talking about here. He ran a scouting report service in Dallas that interacted with a lot of prospects, a lot of college programs. This guy knows a lot of people. He knows how to identify talent. And I think the hope is that, you don't want to, like, do too many comparisons, but think what James Blanchard has done for Tech football. This is what you hope Buffington can do for Tech basketball.
It's funny you use that name, because when I heard this, I guess we had seen something to this effect maybe late last week or into the weekend, but in terms of it becoming official, and my thought was, is he the basketball version of James Blanchard? And it sounds, it definitely sounds akin to that. Unique. I don't know where he, it sounds like he's definitely heavy on relationships. I don't know. He may be a high-end evaluator as well, but it feels like that recruiting resource role would certainly seem to be big in on-campus visits. And the reason why I make that distinction is he won't be able to go out and go be at tournaments as one of the three recruiting assistants. Doesn't mean he can't watch video, doesn't mean he can't take a million phone calls, or however that works. But my comp, the only thing I could think of was, is it James Blanchard? Is it basketball's James Blanchard? And between him and Smart, seems like a really good X's and O's guys. These are a couple of really interesting additions over the last, we've known about the Smart thing, or that's been floated and rumored for a little while, but still, a couple of interesting hires for Coach McCaslin. It seems like that staff has rounded out nicely.
Now, what we don't know about Buffington is if he'll be empowered with the same level of kind of authority and autonomy as Blanchard has at football. Because for folks that don't know, and this is highly unusual, unorthodox, the personnel department at the football program, they pick who Tech recruits. Like in a typical kind of average college football program, your position coaches evaluate their position. So if I'm a receivers coach, I'm going to be looking at receivers film, evaluating them and deciding who that I want to offer. And maybe you run that up the flagpole of your coordinator to get a sign off. And maybe even the head coach has to sign off, but that's kind of the order of operations. But at Texas Tech, it's Blanchard, it's Nance, all of those guys. They watch the film, they evaluate fit, potential, all those things, and then they tell the position coaches, "Hey, here's who you're recruiting."
Yeah, it really is an interesting model, and from the outside looking in, I guess an asset would be, more time spent by the position coaches, the coordinators on their group, their position room now.
Well, and their recruits, because if you're not evaluating, you can just be about building relationships.
That's a good point, about selling the program. As opposed to picking through nine of them, maybe to a lesser extent it defies the Bill Parcells. Wasn't he the one with the famous "You want to be the chef, but pick the ingredients"?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was his comment as he was leaving New England, where some of the personnel decisions have been taken away. I'm not getting that quote exactly right, but it was sort of the prime illustration of, hey, I want to be able to cook it, but also pick the ingredients. And I can't believe that it doesn't involve already a high level of communication. If the staff has tremendous chemistry and they enjoy being around each other and their interactions, and there's a ton of trust there, I can't believe that Coach Blanchard shoving an offensive lineman down the O-line, the coach's room's throat. Like, I don't want that guy. Tough break. That's who I chose. You know what I mean? I can't believe that there's not a high level of coordination. The basketball thing would seem to be a little different, just because you're really dealing with, what, three or four acquisitions a year?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the beauty of that is, because Buffington's role, I mean, again, I'm saying this, the beauty of it, but this from the outside looking in, here's a guy that's deeply involved in Dallas-Fort Worth and tournaments and that whole scene. So you would think that he comes in contact with a lot of Dallas-Fort Worth type kids who maybe go off and play somewhere and want to come back to this part of the world. And so his involvement probably cuts pretty deep in the portal game as well. Relationships with a lot of summer coaches and high school coaches in a way that, hey, heard your guy wants to come back to this part of the world. Here we are. Really interesting.
And I think the smart addition shouldn't be overlooked, right? We don't ever talk about Canadian college basketball on this show, and I would guess that those words in that order have never been really discussed on this station, even back when it was 104.3, or even when the show was on Fox Talk 950. But Dave Smart won like 17 of like 20 national championships in Canada. 17 of 20.
It's remarkable. It's like a 590 and 50.
And it's not like, I mean, it's
amazing.
I realize that the level is not, he's not coaching against Big 12 competition, right? But he's not like, he doesn't have this like stocked, loaded roster and just, you know, blowing through other teams. I mean, it's pretty similar competition, and he's coaching them up and, again, winning like 17 of 20, and you brought him on as an assistant coach.
Yeah, and a really unique approach to defense. It sounds like something we had around here for a while with a touted defensive system. It's different than the Mark Adams no middle defense, but it's akin to that it tries to take away part of the floor, and it's hard to play against, and McCaslin will bring effort out of those players, and that sounds like we're going to be tough to play against for a while.
More tech talk next. Hey there, how you going? It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Gus and Clint. I'm Aaron. We're joining you today until 6:30. Would love to hear your thoughts and comments on the EH Flooring Center chat line at TT973.com. Time for some headlines. Texas Rangers back in action tonight after having the day off yesterday. They'll open a series at home against the Chicago White Sox. First pitch tonight, 7:05 p.m. Rangers are 60-46 overall. They've maintained a lead in the AL West division standings, although that is now down to half of a game. The Houston Astros, right on their heels, will continue a series tonight against the Cleveland Guardians.
First pitch from Minute Maid Park at 6:40. Our Astros pregame coverage will begin for you at 6:40 on 100.7 The Score. First pitch, 7:10. U.S. Women's National Soccer Team will advance in the World Cup following a relatively disappointing 0-0 draw versus Portugal early this morning. U.S. ranked number one. Portugal ranked 21st. U.S. was a heavy favorite. Did not score. They did not win their group. They finished second behind the Netherlands. Netherlands beat Vietnam 7-0 and won Group E. The next game for the U.S. in the round of 16 will be against Sweden. You too can join the program. We'd love to hear from you on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at TT973.com.
That game was interesting, too. Portugal bounced one off the post at the 92nd minute.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably less than ideal.
Yeah, the I don't know like a whole lot here. I'm hardly an expert, but I do pay attention, right? I do watch when the games aren't at 2 a.m. and it just seems like, man, something's off. I couldn't break down the X's and O's part of it, or even like the roster side of it. Oh, wait, this person's injured, or you, no idea. But man, like the vibes are off.
I agree, and I don't know if it's if there's, you know, too much, like you said, Ed, there's too much reliance on a aging core, or maybe it's the opposite. Maybe they're too inexperienced. I don't know, but you and I talked about it post the, remember the Vietnam, the game for the over under for the game against Vietnam, which was supposed to just be blowout central, was 6.5. Astronomical in soccer terms, right? That the USA over under 6.5 goals, scored 3, no big deal. Portugal, the Netherlands, and those teams have rolled Vietnam, and then we go play a 1-1 tie against the Netherlands that featured kind of a little headbutting, mm-hmm. and a relatively late goal, and then this scoreless draw with Portugal. And I think you when we talked about it, as I asked you if you had any sense of the rankings or whatever, and I think you said Netherlands came in ranked 9th in the world by whatever mm-hmm. measure, Portugal 16th.
21st.
There you go. So, you know, not a, and we're number one, USA, but it's not a glowing, you know, those aren't glowing victories. Now, are they bored by the challenge, bored by the bracket, or we're about to find out, are they going to get into bracket play and you know have been alerted and alarmed and you know be on point here as we have it's survival mode from here on in? We shall soon find out.
I mean, I would have thought, I mean, frankly, that if there's going to be a wake-up call, it would have been after the Vietnam game, because while you won that game, you should have won by a lot more, and you didn't. You know, it's, I mean, think about it. Like, if Texas Tech is 21st in the preseason AP poll, which that wouldn't surprise anybody if you're 21st, and you play Georgia, who's going to be number one, probably. You think you're going to tie Georgia? Hell no. Mm-hmm. You're going to get obliterated.
And I would tell you that I was less alarmed by the 3-0 over Vietnam, because, you know, they probably knew they had that game in hand and just first game, this and that. And then the 1-1 game against the Netherlands, I would have said, okay, after this game, Portugal better watch out. This team's about to roll. So I'm taking, I think, your logic and just pushing it back a game. Mm-hmm. And here we are. Like I said, they could just be – they could just be the ultimate in you know, in competitors, and as the volume and the importance ratchets up, this, so does their performance. We'll see. Wouldn't be the first time that's happened by a team to sort of be, you know.
I think they're going to lose to Sweden
early. I mean, like early in the bracket play in the round of 16 at that point. Yeah.
Which is funny with the, like, hey, are they bored with the comp? Did that, like, you think with having a three-peat on the line.
Bored's a big word, sure. but you get it.
Not focused, sloppy, whatever. There you go. You think that they would be as laser-focused as possible because they're trying to do something that hasn't been done in the Women's World Cup, true. Right? Like, and so it's not like, oh, we've been here, done that. And again, when you add in the new faces, some of them haven't done this. The bulk of them haven't done it. It's just very interesting how lackluster of a World Cup it's been so far for them, who still advance, but
yeah, and that's we'll
I'm gonna blame the time difference.
It does add to the intrigue. I mean, if they were just rolling people, maybe that's interesting, but it's like, yeah, another, we smoke somebody else, who else do we, you know, and now this deal's got real drama
that we just can't watch.
Well, you can.
I mean,
you can get up at 4 a.m. and watch
Is that like the worst possible time for a sporting event? Because, I mean, think about it. Like, if it was 5 a.m., you could wake up early for that, right? Like, if Tech played at 5 a.m. somewhere, I'd wake up 4:55 to tune in for that for sure, right? If it was 1 a.m., you could stay up. You could power through it. Maybe have a, you know, a late night cup of coffee or an energy drink or whatever, but like 2 or 3 o'clock, because it's
too late.
It's too late to stay up, right. And it's too early to wake
get
up.
Yeah, I agree.
That's like it's the rough Bermuda Triangle of crappy sports times.
Well, and you know the USA drives a big part of this viewership on the women's soccer side, and here we are playing at off times of the day. And what if this team does go out in the round of 16?
Fire the coach.
Well, okay, just like Kliavkov, he's gonna get fired on April 1st.
Well, but I think they've been fairly lackluster in the build-up to this cup too.
What's his background, what's his story, was he,
I don't know.
You know anything about it? He was a longtime coach at North Carolina or something. Or I know that's not the. I didn't know if there was a tie.
The Stuno has this: the U.S. women have no attacking presence. They should have lost to Portugal. Got saved by the post. Yep. Should be out of the World Cup. They have a terrible mentality, dancing and jumping up and down after surviving the group. They will probably play Sweden next round, which will be an extremely tough game. Jeff has this: there are injuries, but this U.S. women's national team is robotic. Basic ball position, lacking in skill. The squad misses opportunities repeatedly to switch to play when there are acres of space available. Finishing has been very poor, and the coach can't seem to figure out how to use his subs. It's befuddling. Radiation Station, do you know if Sweden still has the ex-U.S. women's national team coach? If so, I'm with AD. She's played the USA tough over her reign and tripped the USA up before. I think actually she's with Brazil now. I went and looked that up. Derek says this: I'd much rather watch an early game than late games. Eric says this: I'm pouring concrete at 3 a.m. tomorrow, 80. It's not just a bad sports time. Oof, that's rough.
Well, I can understand the 3 a.m. deal in that context. One thing about it, dude's going to be out there at 102. But no thanks either way, and I'm with you. That is rough. You have much respect for me.
I mean, it'll barely be under 80 at 3 a.m. Yeah, that's
that'll
ridiculous.
Be better than 102, though.
True.
With the sun beating on.
True. This in the chat line. AD, I'm afraid that you're right. It's not that we're bad. Sweden is just really good. Go City 4 in a row. Texas Tech 1980 says, they're not focused on soccer. They're focused on not singing the anthem and making a point. There they will is. Lose the next round.
There it is. I was waiting on that. Waiting on that.
I don't
that.
Even think that's a thing anymore.
I was waiting on that. That took 6 texts.
Well, to be fair, it was one of the earliest texts. I just saved at the end, hoping that we could get to the music without the injection of politics. But
there it is.
A little short. This is Tech Talk on Double T 97.3. Hi, how are you? Good afternoon. It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Gus and Clint. I'm Aaron. We're joining you today until 6:30. Would love to hear your thoughts and your comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at DoubleT973.com. Jason Shear of WildcatReport.com covers Arizona for 24/7 Sports. Has said on a radio station today that the deal presented by George Kliavkov, to the rest of the Pac-12. Apple TV Plus, we've kind of gone over this. If you're just tuning in, there's really nothing else to know. It's Apple TV Plus. The base payout is much lower than the Big 12. Jason Shear said that figure was $20 million per year per team on average. He also said, and this is the new kind of bit of information, he says that the Pac-12 programs would get $1 for every subscription that is sold, right? And this is a separate subscription. This is not just, oh, I sign up for Apple TV Plus, boom, $1 goes to the pack. It's a separate add-on. Now, he didn't say, or at least I, because I can't listen, obviously I'm a little bit preoccupied at the moment. I assume that's $1 per team per subscription and not just $1 for the conference per subscription, because if that was the case, you'd never be able to pass the Big 12. If it's $1 per team per subscription, then you're talking about needing 11 to 12 million signups just to more or less break even with what the Big 12 is getting. And that ain't happening, folks.
That's a big number.
You're not getting 10 million subscribers.
No. Not even, no way. I mean, how does this get better? How does this package, because obviously they met today and they're not off, they've reported back to their whatever. All the camps are meeting. How's this get better? Like, how do you counter this? Maybe with a little more money from Apple, we want more per. We want $1.25 per everyone we sign up or whatever.
Well, even then.
I mean, but you get what I'm saying. Like, what's the counter on this? What's the? It's felt. I don't want to act like this know-it-all in this area, but just looking at it from here, like, where are the teeth in this? What's the threat to Apple if the Pac-12 just says, nah, okay, you got nothing, man. I got Ion over here, and they're, I mean, like, what is it? What's at the table that's driving this conversation? I mean, it feels as toothless as it's ever felt.
And we could spend a whole week, going back and laughing at things that George Kliavkov has said over the last year. But, two short weeks ago, he was talking about how, hey, the longer this process goes on, the more people are asking us about our deal, the more options that we have. Homeboy just presented Apple TV Plus. We've been talking about Apple TV Plus for the Pac-12 for 6 months. All right, this ain't new. They're not some kind of Johnny come lately to this process. He's full of it, man. This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Exactly. This person says, you guys are such negative Nancys. The longer the Pac-12 waits, the more awesomer their TV deal gets.
Now that's what he said.
This person says, am I thinking straight that it's 11 to 12 million subscribers per team that you would need to match what each Big 12 team is expected to receive? It really just depends if that's $1 per team per subscription or if it's $1 for the conference per subscription. But either way.
If it's the latter, then that's not even close.
Yeah, if you're dividing $1 per subscription among 10 to 12 Pac-12 programs, you better set up shop in India and start, building some satellite campuses and hoping to kind of cash in on their population.
Do you think if they had agreed to this at the end of the year, they'd have like a Girl Scouts number recount and like, Oregon sold 12 million, they're going to space camp.
Yeah, exactly. Raiders dad, Apple doesn't even currently have 12 million paying subs right now, right? We had those numbers at one point. I thought that they were under 1 million. I don't know. I can pull that up at some point. It's low. Their numbers are low. This in the chat line from Raiders Dead Air, and I've been in meetings all day, kind of get the cliffs on Pac-12 demise today. How is coming over to try Big 12 and win? Who is coming over, I guess, is maybe what he meant to say. So the quick recap is this. Meeting happened early this morning. The best deal available was presented. It was Apple TV Plus all the way. No built-in linear component. 100% streaming. Base value low, as low as potentially $20 million per team. Built-in incentives, escalators that theoretically could see the deal past the Big 12s in value. Although, again, you would need to, a Herculean effort to sell that many subscriptions. So the bottom line is the deal sucks. It sucks for Arizona. It sucks for Utah. It sucks for Arizona State, Oregon, Washington. It's great for Oregon State. It's great for Wazoo. Probably great for Cal. I don't think Stanford cares. But none of those institutions that are serious about athletics want to relegate their programs behind a streaming paywall that nobody is going to buy.
I mean, I'm trying to think of the comp here from 10 to 12 years ago when the Pac-12 was either cutting edge or laughably missing the mark with the Pac-12 network. And I think in hindsight, they missed the mark. And it was Larry Scott, and he's sort of panned now, and we fast forward 10, 12 years, and they're either on the cutting edge with the streaming deal or about to put themselves on an island. Maybe with the disastrous, with the disastrous repercussions for the league as it currently stands. It feels like it's a repeat of the Pac-12 network. Just a whiff.
And if you spend the last decade plus with regrets over how that 2011 negotiation took place, and your bet on selling subscriptions, cable subscriptions, to the Pac-12 network, how likely are you institutionally to give the green light to go through the same exercise again, right?
Yeah, especially if you've got an out, if you've got an option. And I'm really would love to hear the behind the scenes on this. If there's a belief that, hey, there's three spots open in the Big 12. We need to be one of the three, or maybe we're so great and wonderful, Washington, Oregon, that they would go to 18 if we were part of this. I don't know, but at what point is there a rush to make sure you're one of the three that gets the three open spots?
Well, I think it's on.
Yeah, I would think so too.
I think it's definitely on. This in the chat line from our friend Shelly, who says, can we just call him homeboy from now on? Yeah, sure. For sure. Derek says, this longer they wait, the better the Big 12's prospects get. At this point, as far as I'm concerned, Arizona's done. Like, it might take a couple of days, but I don't see any chance that they sign on for this. Any chance. Maybe Utah is crazy enough to go, you know what, but we got a clear path to the playoff here. Maybe.
Right. That to me is the one selling point.
This makes no sense to accept if you're Arizona or Arizona State or Utah or Oregon or Washington. More Tech Talk next. Hey there, how you going? It's Tech Talk on Double T97.3 and Double T97.3.com with Gus, with Clint. I'm Aaron, with you until 6:30. Would love to hear your thoughts and comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at DoubleT973.com. This on the chat line. If you guys can see the writing on the wall, and we the fans can see the writing on the wall, and the media outside of cult-like Pac-12 homers can see the writing on the wall, what in the actual heck is taking some of these schools that have real options for moving on? Who cares if you've been in a league for 30-plus years? If you don't jump now, it's pure negligence for Arizona and, for that matter, Arizona State and Utah.
I mean, there's been a belief or the concept that these schools don't want to be the ones to go first and bring down the conference, if you will. Of course, Colorado's led the way with that, but I think you mentioned yesterday the idea of strength in numbers, that if three go all at once, it's less of something that you screwed this up or you took us out of this region. But
it's like a firing squad, right?
Yeah.
And one chamber is always empty.
Yeah, that's a good point. I can understand the emotional ties to where they are, but I mean the emotional ties to what they've been a part of for a long time. But I would also say that the remaining 10 schools didn't bring this thing down. USC and UCLA started that. History is going to shine on those two. If you're really worried about your legacy, is who screwed up the old Pac-12? There it is, right there.
I don't
think this is going to fall on you. Were the fourth, fifth, and sixth teams to leave this conference, and you
all
made this
fault.
Thing crumble. Right? Yeah.
Way to go, a-hole.
Exactly.
I think that there's a relationships element here that is not being maybe appreciated. I recognize that, hey, you, me, Clint, most of you out there listening are, ready for the knife to be stuck in and pull the ripcord and, all that stuff. But they've been in this conference for 50-plus years. I mean, I don't think that there is some kind of institutional hatred at Arizona or ASU or Utah toward the rest of the Pac-12. Right? I don't think that Arizona is fist pumping because they get to hose Wazoo or Oregon State or Cal. They recognize, I'm sure, that they need to do what's best for Arizona, and that is to leave the Pac-12. But I don't think that there's some excitement over that. It's more of a resignation that, okay, this, we have to do this. It's like if you work at a place for 30 years, right, and you like your coworkers and you like where the office is located and you like all the non-compensation benefits that come with that job. They have pizza parties and, you get free coupons or donuts every morning or whatever. But you get a better offer eventually. And it's from an out-of-town outfit. And, it would be unfair to your family if you didn't take that job because it just offered that much more money. And once you decided to leave, would you flip desks and double rods everybody on the way out the door, or would you be cordial about it, gentle, shake hands, share, hey, here's my cell phone number, call me anytime? I mean, I think I know what I would do, and I'm guessing most of us would do the same, and I think that's probably what Arizona is working through right now, kind of the reality of, okay, I mean, we're really going to do this, and that's, I think there's probably some sadness there. I mean, Colorado just got there. I don't think that they had that. I don't think they really messed with that. It was purely transactional. But I don't think that that's the case with the Arizona schools.
Well, I mean, you look at some of the schools.
Clint would definitely flip desks and double rods on the way out, 100%.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. You like to think of some of the schools that, from a Big 12 perspective, that were on the road to doing this before the conference was saved. Did anybody want the Big 12 to really break up whenever it's looking, hey, are we gonna go to the Pac-12? Are we going to go to the American Conference to survive? Is that the route? No one wanted the Big 12 to break up, and everyone was pissed at Oklahoma and Texas. And you can even go through 2010, whenever you saw some of the original breakup of the Big 12. No one was really happy about it. I mean, you understand why an A&M would be ticked at Texas. Everyone else was too, or mad at a Missouri or Colorado for leaving in the first place. No matter how you saw them on the Big 12 scale, I'm sure the Pac-12 feels the exact same emotions that you were on the way to having.
This in the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Klyavkov is gone. Arizona is gone. The pack is done. Raiders Dad says, you need to use air quotes when you say TV deal. Where are the significant linear concepts? Great point, because it's not a TV deal.
No.
Right? It's an app deal. Sooner in Lubbock, what is the deal with that commissioner, seriously? Yeah.
Hoo-wee!
He is... What you've mentioned a few times this, Gus, over the last few weeks about your interest in excitement for the kind of the TikTok, you know, breakdown of how this all unfolds, right? Whether that's 6 months from now or 6 years, it's going to be a great read. I can't I can't wait to read it either. I'd love to know at what point did Klyavkov realize he was screwed, right? Because I like last summer, flashback last summer. When he made his now infamous comment about, oh, I don't know if we're going to go shopping there or not, right? Did he know at that point? No, I don't think so, because the Big 12 hadn't signed their deal. But, like, at what point in this process did he finally come clean, at least to himself, right, with, you know, that internal monologue, like, oh, man, I am so boned?
You know, the Big 12 are... media rights deal was going to expire the year after the Pac-12s, and we jumped ahead of them, and it seemed, you know, and I think you and I have talked about this, and the did we know, and maybe that's the moment, like, oh, you know, like an oblique moment for Klyavkov when, hey, the ESPN's not returning my calls. You know, what's the deal here? And it might have just been, yeah, the inventory's full. Their interest has run out. It would seem to me that TV, the media rights, excuse me, us jumping them in line, in hindsight, was a bigger deal than maybe we thought it was. This was a big deal at the time. But, you know, was it simply our commissioner going, hey, I'm the new guy here, I need to win? Or, hey, this media rights thing's about to burst, we need to get it while we can. You know, what was it, some blind luck there? Was it absolutely ninja, strategic, beautiful forethought? Hindsight, who knows? History's going to treat him well around here, it looks like, and it's going to be disastrous to Klyavkov.
This in the chat line, did the Pac-12's presentation deal have anything about additions, AD? That has not been reported as far as I know. I would be very surprised if that wasn't discussed in terms of, like, you know, this is how it would work mechanically in terms of, you know, half shares, whatever. But I have not seen a lot of reporting on that portion of the presentation. I think, frankly, people are just focused on the value part of it because it's so bad. And it probably means what we think it all means for Arizona and Arizona State and Utah. This in the chat line, if they had 12 teams, they don't. They would have to sell 1 million subscriptions per school to make up the difference between Big 12 media deal. Yeah, I mean,
they're, no shot.
1 million might as well be 100 million because they're not going to get there, right? This on the chat line. Suck it, Pac-12.
Suck it, Steve.
Yeah. Somebody else says, I'm double rotting my way out of the door at AD, especially when I go by Steve's office. Wow.
Suck it, Steve.
Man, that's... More tech talk next.